Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, The Ghost Challenger, a conversation with Richard Case. From a very young age, Richard Case could feel things. Maybe not always see the supernatural, but he knew it was there. He'd grow up hearing haunting tales from his stepfather and eventually grow into an adult who would go on journeys around the world, investigating and sometimes challenging the ideas of specific hauntings. This journey has given him tremendous insight into the paranormal and the spirit world. Today, we discuss the life and experiences of Richard Case on The Grave Talks.
I mean, I go back to when I was very, very young. My grandfather was fantastic at telling stories. He was a real character. He'd tell me the odd ghost story when I was small, and I'd say, please, Grandad, tell me some more, you know. Yeah. And he told me a story about that he used to see my grandmother's apparition, because my grandmother obviously had passed, and said he used to see her apparition at the top of a stairwell. Now, he was staying at some friend's house, and it was a spiral staircase. So you can imagine, as a child, I used to go up that spiral staircase, hands firmly on my eyes, because I didn't want to bump into my grandmother's ghost. But I kind of liked the stories more and more, and I think you probably remember this, Tony. We grew up with things like Hammer House of Horror, which was over in the UK, and many of the old traditional horror films and stories and some of the literature. So I think all of it kind of added to my interest in it. I guess I kind of like being scared as well as a child, which might seem a bit strange, but I kind of remember my great uncle. I used to stay at his house, and he used to tell me that his wife had, you know, sadly, she'd also died. It sounds like all the women die in my family. But and her apparition was seen at the bottom of the bed. And, you know, as a child, I used to sort of go to bed and have this feeling that something was in the room and felt it. And I kind of just got interested from that and wondered, why do people, you know, see things? How do they see things? How come I only feel things but don't see things? And it really started from all that.
When you say you feel things but don't see things as a child, when you were having that emotion, what was going through your mind? How I describe that to us?
Yeah, well, I remember that I stayed at another house where a friend of the family, they're lovely people, but they had a particular room in the house that I just did not like as a child. I would not go in that room, and they couldn't put their they couldn't answer why that was. And, you know, there was no reason for me to be apprehensive of that family. They were a great family. And I have seen that. And it used to be that, you know, when I was young, I didn't want to stay in the room where someone had died. I remember as a child, we lived in a really old Victorian house back in the UK, which was fantastic. It had servant bells still on the walls. You could still see where they were. And I, as a child, whether it was over imagination or what, but I could feel when I went to bed that there was a presence in the other room. I could feel like somebody was in the other room chatting away, and it wasn't just neighbors. I really felt like it. And when I was very young, it got so, you know, so profound for me that I almost didn't want to go to bed at night. So it was quite, so yeah, it was feelings of, you know, something's around, and I couldn't answer what that was. And, but I never really saw anything, you know, that was what was interesting.
So you would have these feelings in your own home. You have your grandfather telling you ghost stories and you can't wait to hear more. How were other members of your family's outlook on the paranormal when you would talk about any of these things?
It's quite interesting because my stepfather was very, very religious, very, brimstone and fire religious, very evangelical. So he was completely against all of it. And so are my half brothers and sisters. They'll have nothing to do with any of it. Even if I say to them, I'm only researching it, I'm a skeptic, they'll stay well away. And, you know, that they've got that kind of clue, you know, they just don't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But my mum was always, as a child, there was a few times when she told me, that a friend of hers could read the tea leaves and tell her the future. And I often thought, as my mum, my mum could have had some kind of background in sort of trying to, you know, witchcraft in the family or something like that. In fact, there's a cunning folk. He's a guy that was called upon to, you know, to kind of diagnose witchcraft in the old days. And his name was Francis Brewer. My grandfather's name was Brewer. And I'm trying to find out if there's any connection with the family, because, you know, it would be interesting to know if there is a connection going far back in the family as well.
When you talk about you were having those feelings in the house, not really seeing anything, but you had those feelings. You knew something was likely there.
Yeah.
When you look at back at it all retrospectively, do you have any ideas or clues as to who you think it may or may not have been that was you were feeling the presence of?
Well, I found out later in life. I mean, I only found this out in my 40s, which is, wow, quite, you know, quite late in life to find out. But that my father that brought me up was my stepfather. My real father, bless him, had died when I was very young. So, you know, someone could argue and say maybe he was trying to get hold of me, contact me, and it was a heavy presence. I'm a skeptic. I don't know. I try and answer why that is. I'm quite intrigued why children seem to have these imaginary friends, because we all hear about it where, you know, my son saw something and then he points to a picture and it's granddad or it's so-and-so in the family. And sometimes we think the parents influence them a little bit, so that can be. But I'm doing a little bit of research at the moment on that to try and look into that, and also go from a friend of mine, a psychologist, look at why there might be a reason why young children have imaginary friends, and maybe it can all be explained by science and there isn't anything paranormal about it. But you know, it does intrigue me, that, yeah.
It's funny, it maybe there is nothing paranormal about it, but it remains paranormal until science says, this is normal. it's such an interesting direction. As you were having those feelings as a child, and you say you're a skeptic, and that's good. It's good to be a skeptic. Were you questioning your sanity? Were you questioning the validity of the feelings that you were having in that house?
Very much so. I mean, because I was brought up very indoctrinated with religion, I kind of questioned that as well. So I was questioning everything that I've been brought up to believe. I mean, kids, Santa Claus is very real, and the Tooth Fairy is very real, if any children are listening. But, you know, I was brought up to question all those kind of things that we had been told. And I thought, you know, is it because I've, you know, and all the time I was just questioning. I was looking at, you know, from a young age, I was looking at psychology books. I was looking at, so it's quite interesting, the books I was turning to get my answers, actually. So, I always lean to the skeptical, you know, can this be, if this can't be, and I was a bit, well, it can't be explained by science. It must be all in the mind, you know, and I was going that way. And I mean, it's only till later in my, you know, doing what I do that I started to come across things which, you know, throw me today, and I think, well, I can't explain that. So, yeah.
So tell me more about how things advanced for you as you got older, as you began to come out of childhood and get into your teen years and your adult years. Did the interest stay? Were the feelings still there of being sensitive to things? How did things progress for you?
I think they've always been there, because my wife said to me, you're very good at picking up on people. And, you know, I've often said that, you know, when people buy houses, they're picking up on the environment, you know, the atmosphere of a house. And I think it's always been there, that feeling on things. And I do sometimes find that I'll get a feeling about somebody and I'll say, I don't know what it is, but I'm not too sure. I mean, I did become a police officer later in life, but I kind of retired from that, but that did help in that job.
Sure.
You know, I always had that kind of intuitive kind of way. But I kind of went off the ghost for a little bit. I did have a little bit of a break from it, and so I thought, well, you know, I don't know if I really believe in this. I then went through questioning times, my old religion come back, you know, is what I'm doing actually wrong? Is it, you know, is it meant to be? Is there a God? Is it actually, you know, a crime against God? Or, you know, is it against religion? Is it devilish? Is there truth that there's a devil? Is this something I shouldn't be delving into? All those other questions came up as well. So I only kind of recognize, you know, come to a stage in my life when I suddenly thought, no, let's put all that together, but let's look at it all healthily and marry it all together, and it's all been okay since.
How did you do that? How did you begin to kind of put it all back together as an adult and begin down that journey in that way?
Yeah, I think always keeping, even though I say I'm a skeptic, I mean, I often said, when I started what I did, because I'm known as the ghost challenger, somebody said to me, does that mean you go out and you challenge things and try and make things happen that shouldn't happen? I said, no, it's because I challenge the idea that it is a ghost. So I say to somebody, lock me in a haunted building and I'll come back and tell you that it's probably the pipes or something different. I'll look at everything. But I guess I decided I need to go on this with an open mind, because I respected people like, you know, Hans Holzer, all the heroes of the past, and realized that one of the biggest things that they always, you know, recommended was an open mind and going in with an open mind. And you know, I do find even today people of a scientific elk are completely poo-poo anything to do with it, don't want nothing to do with it, and get quite embarrassed talking about it. But, you know, on the quiet, they don't mind saying they're a parapsychologist or something. You know, it's a strange old ball game, this what we do. And I kind of decided, no, let's go in with all the angles I did. Let's go in from as far as I can and the knowledge I have of science. Let's go in from the knowledge I have of folklore, superstition. Let's go in from the historical perspective. Let's go in from all that, and let's also go in from my experiences, you know, with religion as well, you know, and becoming almost an atheist. So bring it all together, and I think that's kind of always been my way. And if I've gone out with groups, I've said to the groups, forget what I say to them, don't say tonight you're looking for a ghost, because straight away you're putting out there that there's a ghost you're looking for, somebody at once died. You know, it may not be that that's making the noise. You know, it could be a mouse, it could be some other unexplained thing that's happening. You know, it could be us that are haunting ourselves. There's so many things that could have answers to it, you know. And you know, we have to just have a real open mind to it.
Sure. There's a lot of things here you've mentioned. I've just been kind of writing down my notes as we go that I'd love to unpack, because they're very interesting angles of topic. Let's just kind of jump into some of them that you just talked about. Religion, folklore, and things of that nature. And this is a very broad-based question, so I'll let you kind of pick it up wherever you want.
Sure.
To. How much does folklore, if you will, play a role in the belief systems of individuals when it comes to a haunting? Say someone has something going on in their home they can't explain. How often are you finding the world of folklore or religion coming into play in terms of how they're interpreting what they're experiencing?
Very much a big part of it, I would say, because, you know, you find that also people interpret, I mean, if people are brought up to believe that it can be demonic and they can be possessed.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe, or visit thegravetalks.com.